So now I'll be reading the passage, which is Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 18. Colossians 4, 2 to 18. So you've got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Okay. Colossians 4, starting in verse 2. Hear the word of the Lord. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him, and Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Thank you very much. Let me say, actually, just I didn't get an opportunity at the camp to say thank you. Just thank you so much for having me for the weekend and also during the week and even here tonight. Just thank you, because I've been greatly encouraged. It's just been a real treat for me to spend time with fellow believers who are partners in the gospel, and just to be reminded of God's grace towards us in Christ Jesus. I'm very deeply grateful for the opportunity I've had to speak about Jesus. So thank you for that. And let's look tonight at Colossians 4. We've just finished off a series on Colossians back in Mitchelton. And so I'm just taking one of the last sermons I preached, well, a recent sermon I've preached. And I just thought it might be helpful. It's going to be simple, hopefully, and fairly clear, I hope. Yes. The Matildas, that is the Australian women's soccer team, recently played in the World Cup, and we had a good team. Ellie Carpenter in defence, Sam Kerr, great striker, Lydia Williams, really fantastic in goal. They were a team with different roles and different parts to play, but one team. And a team that was on a mission, aiming to win the World Cup. Now, they fell short, but they gave it a good go. That was their aim, a team with a mission. Now, God's family here at Bull Creek is also a team. And you're a very special team, because you're God's team. And on earth, you've got a mission, that of making disciples of Jesus. Disciples, people who follow Jesus, and by definition, seek to make other followers of Jesus. And it is the very nature of being God's people and God's church and having that mission that we want to grow deep and mature and strong, but we also want to grow wide. We want to add numbers. We want more followers. We want to reach Perth with the world. We want to reach the surrounds here in Bull Creek with the good news that Jesus is Lord, that the one who died for sin is King. Now tonight you may be here and you may not be a follower of Jesus. You might be a skeptic. Perhaps you're investigating, you may be searching, and I think that's great. Welcome. Stick around. We're really glad that you're here, and we hope this is a place where you can belong and come to believe. And yet, tonight's passage is very much aimed at believers. So it won't directly be applicable to you, though I would encourage you to listen in because it'll help you to understand the mission of God's church. What it is that everyone here at Bull Creek is on about day in and day out, and why followers of Jesus are so eager to share Jesus with others, why they are so keen that others join them and follow Jesus along too. God's family, His team, we're called to know Christ and to make Christ known, which is how we make and grow followers of Jesus. Through prayerful and patient proclamation. Simple and easy as that. Now I'm going to draw out 3 points from our passage, and hopefully they'll be easy to remember, and hopefully that you'll see them clearly in the text and be able to recall them as you read God's word in your daily life. The 3 points are: we need to talk to God about people, and we need to talk to people about God, and we need to do that together as a team. So first up, pray. Verse 2, Paul asked them to talk to God. Devote yourselves to prayer, or continue steadfastly in prayer. In our fast-paced, continually connected modern society, prayer is all too easily relegated to on-the-run, in-the-gaps approach of prayer. And it is good to pray on the run, and it's good to pray in the gaps, but not in place of regular habitual prayer, a set-aside pattern of prayer. We to continually be committed, to steadfastly be devoted to prayer. I can't mention the gentleman's name, but he's back in Mitchelton, but he's quite famous in Australia, and he's a big, rugged kind of guy. And I interviewed him at a men's fire night event last year, couple of hundred folk, and I just remember one of the things that, well, it's actually the only thing that kind of, well, there was a few things that stuck in my mind, to be fair, but one thing that really got to me was the fact that he just said, you know, how does he deal with life, how does he go about his business, and he says, well, what I do every morning is I get onto my knees beside my bed, and I talk to God, I speak to him. I saw this big hulk of a man, and I could picture in my mind getting him down onto his knees. The problem with me is I'm so old, if I get down on my knees, it'll be more difficult to get up. You know what happens when you're getting old, is that when you bend down to sort of tie your shoelaces, you look around to see if there's anything else you can do before you come back up. But never mind. But just that commitment to regular daily prayer, knowing that we live before God, and thus we must live in conversation with God, speaking to Him in prayer. And in our prayer, please note, we are to, verse 2, we are to be watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. We are to stay alert with thanksgiving. That is, thankful for Jesus and thankful for the good news, and watchful, watching out that no one's changing that news, adding to Jesus, which many people were in Colossae. They were in danger of doing that. Jesus plus this, or Jesus plus that. And we've got to be watching out for that. And that watching starts in prayer. We must hold on to the gospel, keep it pure, if we are to hold out the gospel. So let's not be led astray. Let's stick with Jesus. Rejoice in Jesus. Overflow with thankfulness. In all this, be continually steadfast in prayer. And the question would be, well, and talk to God about what? What should be on our prayer list? We'll pray for the big things, which we may not always do. We pray for the parking space. We pray for exam results. We pray for health. And we should. These are good things. God wants and delights to hear our prayers on everything and anything. But let's make sure that in praying for these things, We don't skip praying for the really big things. And what's big on God's agenda? Verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door to declare, speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul's in prison. He's locked up in chains. And yet he asks God, please open doors. But not prison doors. Paul's not asking God to get him out of there. He asks for doors of opportunity, that the gospel may be spoken, proclaimed. He prays for open doors, and he prays for open mouths, opportunities to speak about Jesus, to tell others about the mystery of Christ, to make Jesus known. And so we're not to pray for a get out of jail free card. We're to pray for a speak about Jesus freely card. Well, if you're anything like me, as I mentioned earlier, speaking about Jesus doesn't come easy. Yes, it's a great thrill and exciting, and I want to do it. But to be honest, it doesn't come natural. And so it'd be good if you prayed for me, but pray for yourself if you're in the same boat, and pray for each other. And let's pray for open doors. That's where it starts, actually. If you want to be speaking about Jesus, where it starts is it starts on your knees, praying that God would help you, that he would give you opportunities, that he would give you an open mouth, that he would bring people along your path that you can speak to about Jesus. You see, we're not just to pray for mission partners on the other side of the world, as important as that is. We need to pray for us, for each other here in our everyday lives, asking God for open doors and open mouths. But there's something else to pray for that's really big. We need God's help to speak clear words. Verse 4, Paul asks, pray so that I may make it clear as I should or how I ought to speak. Make it known, and make it clearly known. Clarity. Keep it simple, easy to understand. Don't use theological terms that only you understand. Don't use Christian jargon that only insiders understand. We should talk up Jesus in words everyone can understand. You see, Paul's not out to impress or be clever. He's out to be simple and clear, to be straightforward. And we've got to ask God for help to do that. So, first point tonight, talk to God. Talk to God about people, asking the Lord for open doors, open mouths, and to make Jesus known clearly. Prayer. Secondly, proclaim. Talk to God about people and talk to people about God. Verse 3. Pray that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, that I may make it clear to speak. Now, he's prayed God will help him to do that, but that's the second step, is to actually do it. To speak the word, to speak Christ, because that's our message. The good news that Jesus is Lord, that the one who died for sin is King, that Jesus took our sin upon himself, that we may enjoy his forgiveness, escape everlasting damnation, and be given his righteousness. And that's for all those who repent and believe. That's our message. That's what we proclaim. And to whom do we proclaim? Well, the people we are here for on earth are the people who aren't here in church. You see, the church serves non-members. We're the only group who exists for the express benefit, of those who want nothing to do with us. I mean, it's kind of weird, but it's right. Our home is heaven. So we're not of this world, but we're in this world, and we're in it to win it. Which means we're not meant to lock ourselves away from the world in a monastery or just by hanging out with fellow Christians. We're to be amongst others. We're to be engaged. We ought to be intentional about making friends with people who don't know Jesus so we can speak to them. There's two types of music in my book. that are worth listening to, country and Western. It's pretty sad. I've done youth work all my life, and I have unashamedly like country music. Well, it depends. I'm also folk, and you know. But there's one guy I really enjoy, and his name is Buddy Green. Please tell me somebody has heard about him. That is so depressing. But I also add it's very unsurprising. But he's a Christian guy, and he's an American, and he's probably very old now. It's worth Googling. It's great. But he's got a song whose lyrics I particularly like, and it goes like this. Jesus has left the building. He's out there on the street. He's busy wheeling and dealing his mercy to every beggar, pauper, and thief. Jesus has left the building. You see, the best way to get outsiders in is to get insiders out. So we ought not to wait for unbelievers to come to us. We've got to go to them. We've got to be on their turf. Jesus was the friend of sinners. Jesus was often found at a table with a drink in his hand, hanging out with the less respectable. So let me ask, have you or I left the building? Are we intentionally engaging with and befriending others who don't know Jesus? It's got to be on the agenda for it to happen. And that's what's behind verse 5. Just take a look. Verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. In other words, act wisely toward outsiders. Now, we're not to avoid non-believers. God calls us to act wisely or act towards them, to relate and to do so wisely. What will that look like? Well, read on. Verse 5. It'll mean making the best use of the time. That's what defines that. Wise acting means making the best use of the time. It's a time of opportunity. Acting wisely is making the most of every opportunity in this time. So as Christians in school or uni or the workplace, it's easy to develop some safe strategies to make sure you never need to go public with your faith. You see, our faith can easily be kept safely and silently locked up behind lame excuses. Paul's strategy is the opposite. Be wise in what you do and say so that you'll spot the opportunities to talk about Jesus and make the most of them, talking about Jesus and the good news of grace. Look at verse 6. You see it there? Let your speech always be gracious. You see Paul's strategy here? It's not a sandwich board and shouting at people. It's not a loud hailer. It's not even a big stadium sort of Billy Graham crusade thing. Nope, it's speech. It's simple, everyday conversations where what you say is full of grace. Conversations full of kind words and gracious words, but also words about grace, about God's grace. And seasoned with salt, full of flavor, pure and wholesome. Being the type of person people want to talk to because you're kind and charitable and generous and caring. Grace, salt, and able to answer. End of verse 6. So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So there's a know-how. Be prepared. It could be that you learn a simple gospel outline. Learn to tell God's story. Learn some answers to common objections to Jesus. So that we're able to answer. Able to prayerfully and patiently proclaim Jesus. So, second point. Talk to people about God. Make the most of every opportunity. Conversations always gracious, seasoned with salt, and thus able to answer. Talk to God. Talk to people. And thirdly, partners. Teamwork. Do it together. We're all on mission. Evangelism and discipleship is a team sport, which is encouraging, I think, because we're not lone rangers. We don't have to be a Billy Graham. We're called to be a team with different gifts helping each other out. Making Jesus known takes working together. And that's what Paul spells out as he wraps up this letter. From verse 7, Paul thanks the team and he names them one by one. And here's the team sheet. Along with Paul and Timothy, there's Tychicus. Verse 7, Paul calls him our beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Then there's Onesimus, verse 9, whom Paul calls a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Aristarchus, verse 10, that's Paul's cellmate, and Paul calls him a fellow prisoner. And there's Mark, who they must welcome. And Jesus, also named Justice, Paul calls them, verse 11, my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who have been a comfort to me. There's also Epaphras, verse 12, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus. He is always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. And then Luke, verse 14, Paul calls him the beloved physician, doctor. And Demas and Nympha, verse 15, who has a church in her house. And then Archippus, verse 17, Paul wants to tell him to keep going. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. 12 names on the team sheet. All key players in a team that extends from Paul's prison cell in Ephesus to Colossae, to Laodicea, and even beyond. Some of the team are with Paul, some are with the Colossians. Yet they're all, in one way or another, part of the same team, all with a part to play. Praying, proclaiming, partnering, promoting Jesus in whatever ways they can. A mission team of fellow workers, fellow servants, working together, Paul says, for the spread of the kingdom of God. So what about you? What about Bull Creek? You're God's family. You're on God's team. Each and every one who knows and loves the Lord Jesus. Whether you're Willem or Kate or David or Matt or Carolyn or Josh or Shelley or Evan or Zara, trying to spot other people from the camp. My eyesight's failing. But each of you are on the team. Cameron, good to see you. Jen, over there. James Baker, I won't forget you because I told an illustration about James Baker, not realizing that that was his name. James Baker used to be the US Secretary of State many years back. But each of you, your names are on the team sheet. You're on God's team here at Bull Creek. You're God's family. And so, heading ahead, you're God's team and you're on God's mission, making disciples of Christ who you know and will make known, partnering together in prayer and the proclamation of Jesus. Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are our God, a God who draws near to us and who makes himself known to us, who has revealed himself to us through his word and supremely in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're just so deeply grateful that for those who have trusted in Jesus, that we're on your team, that we're in your family. It's such a privilege and a joy. We are undeserving, we're unworthy, and yet you have seen fit by your grace to save us and to bring us into relationship with yourself through your Son. We marvel at that, that we are God's family, that we are God's team. And Lord, we want to be all that you have made us, and we want to be involved in your work. We want to be on mission with you. We want to share your heart for others. And so we pray, Lord, help us to be a people of prayer, who talk to you, who beseech you, who wrestle and struggle in prayer, speaking to you of our own need to speak to others, but also for opportunities to speak to others. For those who don't know Jesus, praying for them, committing them to you. And we want to be a people who proclaim, with our own particular gifts and our own personalities, that you would indeed open doors for us to speak and open our mouths that we may speak. And knowing that your Spirit will give us the words to say, that we can stand in you. And Lord, help us not to do that simply as lone rangers, but help us to do it together, encouraging one another, being accountable to one another, and working together to the great end of promoting Jesus to Bull Creek, to Perth, Australia, to the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.